If you'll join me in the scripture this morning, it's found on page 8 in the Pew Bible. And I do not see what it sounds in this large print. It's Genesis 11, 1 through 9. The Tower of Babel. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower from its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. That was the end of the reading. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thanks be to God. We gather for the gospel. If it is your desire to stand as we read the gospel, I invite you to do so. This is Mark, the 10th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. People were bringing little children to Jesus in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them in his arms and laid his hands on them and he blessed them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. God is good. All the time. We know that, don't we? We know that it's centered to who we are and what we are about, and we celebrate that. How many of you have heard of William Shakespeare? Anybody not heard of Will, the Bard Bon Avon? I was blessed to serve part of my time in college. I took some classes, one with a Shakespearean scholar, and a little bit rubbed off on me, so I'm not at all a Shakespearean scholar, but I am impressed with the man. If you're in English, you know all of the plays, and each of those plays are formative in developing your mores, your understanding, and your the way that you view the world. We are not quite that much. Shakespeare, I don't know if you realize, though, that Shakespeare had an interesting task. He would write his play, and it had to reach out to the people of diverse background. There were the very aristocratic, well-educated, learned, could read and write. They were literate. And they would sit on the top of the seats. I don't know if they had boxes then. I'm not enough of a Globe Theater expert. But they were a part of the audience. At the other extreme, down in the dirt in front of all the seats, not even with chairs to sit on, but just sitting on the ground, were the very, very poor. They could barely afford to get in, and their fee was minimal to get in compared with those upper crust seats. And Shakespeare, and there were then in between, there was the rest of us, if you will. The middle class, the peoples that were somewhere in between. And each of them lived in their own way, if you will. But Shakespeare had to write his plays to appeal to all three groups at once, or in different phases. If you're ever reading Shakespeare, you might be reading along and he waxes eloquent with poetry and verse that has become enshrined in our histories. And then in the next passage, he might have some bawdy passage that the people that were simple laughed at and appreciated because he was writing to them as well. And then all of his plays then had to have this mixing of the three different versions of what he was presenting. And they all had to reach the people. How would you like that job, trying to write a play to three distinctively different audiences at once? If Shakespeare, and Shakespeare was completely human, if Shakespeare could write plays with that diversity, with that intricacy, can we even doubt that Scripture has multiple levels of meaning, multiple levels of awareness, and multiple levels to teach us? Now, this morning you heard the passage about the Tower of Babel. You saw the sermon title, Babbling and Falling Down. It is not a description of the pastor. Because Babel means a multiple of voices. It means a gathering, a bunch of voices all together that are mixed, that saying this things, and it's confusion. Now, I get confused easily, but I haven't fallen down yet. Knock on wood here. When we hear the Tower of Babel story, how many of you have heard it for the first time? How many of you, that's the very first time you've ever heard that passage? Yeah. And so the first time you heard it, it meant one thing. But as we grow in our faith, as we grow in learning and grow closer to Christ, and as we, our understanding of our place and God's place grows, there might be other meanings as well. God is quite capable of those multiple layers, those differences. The first and foremost, when we hear the Tower of Babel, is the word hubris. Do you know the word hubris? That's from Greek tragedy plays. That was basically the plot of most of the Greek tragedies. Somebody would think that they were greater than they were. They would think, I am so awesome. I am up there with Zeus. And of course, something awful would happen and knock them down again. Hubris is what it's called. What would we call it? Pride? Arrogance? Too big for your britches is how my mama would have put it. Hubris, that's one of those places. And so that's one of the thoughts, is that these humans are going to build this tower to go up into the heavens, clear up there to be like gods. And so God has to smack them down and scatter them around. That was my first reading of it as well. There's two interesting scholars that I'm leaning on a little bit. The first one, his name is the Reverend Dr. Theodore Hebert. He is at McCormick Theological Seminary in Chicago. He said that this is a tower with its top in the heavens. That's what the scripture says. They're going to build a tower with its top in the heavens. He says it's a cliche. Now, I'm not enough of an English major, so I have to back up always and think, now, which one is the cliche? A cliche is like the pin is mightier than the sword. That's a cliche. It's not... Well, okay, it's a cliche. Ignorance is bliss. And there ought to be a whole sermon on that, but maybe another day we'll work on that. A tower with its top in the heavens, he says, is a cliche. And he studies enough of the Hebrew text that he would know that. It means it's a tall building. Have you seen pictures of some of the really tall skyscrapers? What's the tallest one now? It's in Dubai. Yeah. And boy, the clouds come in, and sure, it looks like it. This morning I was driving to Jefferson Avenue, kind of hazy and overcast, and I was waiting to see if the clouds were low enough so that the buildings had their tops in the heavens, but it wasn't quite enough. But it's a cliche. He says that's not what it was. They weren't aspiring to be gods at all. He's just saying they built this tall building. Robert Alter, who's another commentator and another theologian, he says this is not about hubris. It's about a condemnation of our dependence on technology and urbanism, of people gathering together in one place. He says that's what the problem was. Technology. We don't have any problems in putting our faith in technology, do we? Actually, I think we're going the other direction now. 1950s, right after World War II, the atomic bomb had been dropped and atomic energy was coming into its vogue. I've seen pictures of popular science magazines. And we should all have atomically driven cars by now. Anybody have a nuclear pile under the hood? And radiation was the cure-all for everything. There were doctors, hucksters, selling radiation pills. You could get uranium, mildly radioactive uranium, and you take these pills, it would cure you of everything. I guess death does that. Certainly the realization that the technology they had to learn a little bit about and understand, and now people, if you use the word radiation, they panic and say, oh, not radiation. And next time you walk out under the sun, understand that you are being flooded with radiation. So, but technology, people are pushing away from it, saying, no, we don't want any of that technology. We don't want any of those technical things. The funny thing is they still have their smartphones with them. My smartphone's smarter than I am anymore, I tell you. But that was Alter and his interpretation. See, Hebert goes on, because Hebert's the one that said it was just a cliche about the tower with its top in the heavens. He said, that's not what this parable is all about. The story means something else. There's something else there. Think about it in a minute. He says, they built this tower with its top in the heavens. And then God comes forward. And what does God do? He confuses their language and he scatters them. That means that God created diversity and God is good all the time. Diversity created by God. Think about that a moment. Think about what that means to us. I have some friends, they retired and moved into the community, and they thought, well, we want to socialize a little bit, so they joined a breakfast group. They and another couple, these two couples joined this breakfast group. They'd go out to breakfast, you know, and they eat and solve all the problems of the world. But the one couple quit coming after a very short period of time, and my friend went to one of them and said, why did you quit coming to the breakfast group? He said, well, I didn't agree with a couple of the opinions of some of the people that shared them, and they let me know that you either believed as we believed or you weren't welcome. Homogeny. We all have to look the same. We all have to talk the same. We all have to vote the same. We all have to part our hair the same. That homogeny, think about that. That's something that we push for as human beings. Now, before we get too far out of it, you remember Dr. Martin Luther King? You remember that man. He said, do you know the most segregated hour in the United States any day of the week? Sunday morning in worship. We gather together and we are all in groups of those that we're homogenous with. And we do that. We've got to name that and be. And there's a piece of that we want to be with people that are like us, believe like us, talk like us, pray like us. And here is God creating, ordaining diversity. What does that mean to us? Maybe we've been doing it wrong for the last 50, 200 years, whatever. And maybe God is saying, until you guys get it figured out and get mixed up with one another and sit next to people that are different than you are, believe differently than you are, and respect each other as your brothers and sisters and love them, you're going to have to just keep working at it. What does that mean? Is that what is possible? Is that how it could be? I don't know. The Lord God scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth. It is part of creation. It's part of what God has done. He created male and female humanity. Created diversity. Created diverse cultures and languages. And I'm proud of Burns that we're gathered here this morning. That we're able to gather together. We have at least three different sets of cultures coming together. And we bridle a little against each other sometimes. I couldn't understand everything that you sang this morning, Neil. I couldn't get all the Tongan words into my head there. But you know what was awesome was the melody. We knew that freely, freely. And I heard those words in here. And I heard the Tongan sounds. And that was beautiful. That's where we need to be. The Ghanaians sing differently than we do. And those words, we hear those words and we suddenly realize that we're not so far apart after all, and that we don't have to be the same and homogenous and monolithic. God created diversity. God is good. All the time, God is good.